Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. It's our pleasure this morning to welcome his servant preacher, Mrs. Ruth Vickers, to conduct this service. And may the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon Ruth and all present, and to all those in our thoughts. Following the service, refreshments will be served as usual. And just a reminder for next Saturday, that's the away day, 9:15, the coach leaves from here for Bowness on Windermere. And let's hope the weather remains as good as it is today. That would be lovely for everyone to enjoy. We shall now recite together our prayer for today on the notice sheet. And that'll be followed by our call to worship hymn 24. Come now is the time to worship. Our prayer for today is, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the wisdom of our ways. Help us to trust you and walk humbly with you. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I'm delighted so many of you have come this morning. A bank holiday weekend and the sun is shining, and I didn't expect to see so many people in church. So it's great to see you all this morning and to hear you in very good voice, definitely. And we're going to sing further now with 102 in our hymn books. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Gracious God, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. 102. We join now in our first prayers together. Lord Jesus, we come into your house this morning to praise you and to worship you. May we sing your praises with sincerity, be attentive to the reading of your word, and listen to what you're saying to us. We thank you, you've given so much to us, for our families and friends, for our homes, for enough to eat and to drink. Most of all, for what makes Sunday special for us, a time when we can set apart in the week to spend in your house and with like-minded people to praise you. Lord, you've given to us so much, we can only ask for one thing more, truly grateful hearts. Coming into your house, Lord, we're very much aware of the times when we've let you down in what we thought, said and done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts, nor have we loved as our neighbours as we love ourselves. We can make excuses to ourselves, Lord, excuses to other people, but no excuses with you, for you know us inside and out. But we know you're a good and gracious God who will forgive us when we're truly sorry and would turn away from what is wrong. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Now, I wasn't sure if we'd have any young people this morning, but we have, and I'm always very pleased to see all of you. And the tiny tots to our teenagers, it's lovely. Now, what I wanted to say to you this morning was just a few words. I'm going to be speaking to the adults later on about hearing, what we can hear. And I thought this morning I would suggest something to you about my brother. When my brother was small, he had lots of lovely things, toys which were not permitted for girls. One of them was lead soldiers. I loved the lead soldiers, particularly the ones who were dressed as guardsmen with their red tunics and their busbies on. They were, of course, made of lead. Today you would have them made of plastic. But the one fault with them was the heads came off. And then Mark found me quite usefully, would come and say, can you put me a head on? And with a little bit of plasticine and half a matchstick, I could put the heads back on. I can see some of you have done some of that too in the years gone by. They were lovely. And he loved to play with them. And then one day I heard a story. And it was only a story about a soldier. And I told it to Mark. And he listened very carefully. And usually he would wander off, not want to hear what I was saying. He was a few years younger than me. But it was about a general. And this general had some soldiers with him, but a lot of them were back at the camp. And he decided it was time for them to advance, to go forward and face the enemy. So he sent for reinforcements. Now, it was a word I didn't know by then, but I had to learn, and I taught it to Mark as well. And he sent this soldier to go back to the camp and to tell others to come. He didn't write the message down, he just gave it verbally, as we'd say, from his mouth. He said to them, send reinforcements, we're going to advance. The soldier repeated it and he set off. Well, it was quite a way back to the camp. He wasn't sure what the message was by the time he got there. And what he actually said, and some of the people in the congregation already know this, he said was, I've got a message from the general. Send 34 pence, we're going to a dance. Well, the soldiers laughed at him. They didn't send reinforcements, and I'm sad to say the general did not win his battle. Now, that is just a story. My brother liked it, and he did it with his soldiers up and down. I can see him doing it on the carpet now. But we have to listen very carefully when someone gives us a message, especially when we're given a message to take to someone else. God sends many people messages. You'll probably remember the story of Samuel, the boy in the temple who God called in the night with a message. All through the Bible he spoke to people, and God still speaks to people today and calls them. He has messages for us to both hear and to share. He has things to say to you today, but we have to listen to him. So our Sunday school teaches the stories. We hear more about him, but we need to listen and remember what we are told. Now, you've listened well to me. Now I have a question. What was the message the general gave to the soldier to take back to the camp? Anybody any ideas? What did he say? Oh, the adults are brilliant this morning. If I'd had the prize, I'd have to give it to each of you, wouldn't you? Yes, exactly. Yes. He wanted reinforcements. So we have to listen to messages, particularly when they come from God. And when we listen, he most definitely speaks to us. And I'm sure all the grown-ups here could tell you that of times when he has certainly spoken to them through somebody else, through something in the Bible, through something that just come into their head, God speaks. We need to listen and do as he asked us to. Right, we're going to sing your hymn now before you go to your lessons. And this is one I'm almost certain all of you will know. He's got the whole world in his hands. And indeed God has the whole world in his hands. We may not see him, but he's there. 536 in our hymn books. Remember your love for them and for everyone else that they can share it with. Amen. Right. We take up our hymn books now and we find in the back of the hymn book, the psalm for this morning, Psalm 98, which is 820 in your hymn book. We're sharing the reading from the psalm this morning. You're ready? Lovely. Psalm 98, then verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have gained victory.
The Lord has made his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth shall see the victory of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, let the world and all those who live in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming with judge and earth. He will judge the right of righteousness and equity. Amen. Now we're going to have our New Testament reading. You know, I've forgotten to ask who was reading it for us. So, our New Testament reader, please. There we are.
The New Testament reading is Mark chapter 7, reading verses 31 to 37, and the portion is entitled, The Healing of a Deaf and Mute Man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hands on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Leonora. Right. Now, you have your copy of your notices as you came in to church this morning. It's the end of the summer season. Next week, everything will start afresh, and there'll be loads of things going on everywhere, as usual. But you have one to look at this week to refer to for what is going on. And I hear you're going away next Saturday on an outing. I certainly pray it's a lovely day for you, that the sun shines like today, but maybe not quite as hot. You have a wonderful time. We're now asked the steward to wait upon you to receive your gifts for the work of our church and circuit. We bring these our gifts, Lord, as tokens of our love we have for you. We ask that they are used in your service in the way you would have them done. Amen. Right. We're going to sing hymn number 410 now. This will lead into our prayers of intercession this morning. Lord, your church on earth is seeking your renewal from above. Teach us all the art of speaking with an accent of your love. Let us pray in faith to God our Father, in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and in the power of his Holy Spirit. We remember, Lord, your church throughout the world, all who have been called to the ministry of the word and the sacraments, those who ministers in our own churches or moving house, preparing for new churches next Sunday, and we pray for them and for their families as they begin life in new surroundings, new schools, new neighbourhoods, that they will receive the welcome and the encouragement they need to do the work for you. Grant, Lord, that the whole of the church may know your power and be a sign of your presence within your world. We remember in your love the world you have made, those who seek a proper and fair use of the world's resources, those who strive for justice and peace amongst the nations. This morning we remember all those members who are attending the G7 summit in France, that decisions made will affect the lives of many millions of people throughout the world. We ask you, Lord, to be there with them, that people might hear your voice, listen to what you have to say about the government of your world, that you will bring people together who love you and are willing to serve and love others. We pray for the people of the world where there are many problems, and thinking especially this morning of Brazil, the rainforests there where the fires seem to be taking hold just out everywhere. Homes are lost for people and for animals. The future there looks so serious, and yet some people don't realise how important it is. And we pray for the firefighters, for those who are doing what they can to prevent more fire spreading. We ask you, Lord, to be with them today. We pray for the people of Hong Kong protesting against their government and decisions that have been made and need unmaking. We hear the arrests being taken place there yesterday, and as protesters state their wills, we ask you, Lord, to be there with the people, to prevent more hardship, more suffering, more people being arrested, and Lord, that the matter could be sorted out peacefully, we pray, Lord. This will take a miracle, but we know you are very much in the business of miracles. We pray for the people of Kashmir too, who are protesting that much of their independence is being taken away from them by India. We ask you, Lord, to be there with the people there, that they might protest peacefully, that people will not be injured and harmed, and that a solution will be found to their problem. Many other parts of the world need our prayers, thinking especially this morning of the Yemen, where so many people continue under the fighting of a civil war which seems to go on forever, where hundreds are dying of cholera, particularly the children, Lord, and we pray for them today. If only help could come and miracles could happen for that country too, Lord, and we pray for them today, that your will indeed be done amongst all your people, wherever they are. Grant, Lord, that the whole of the earth might be transformed by mercy and hope. Remember all those who are ill at home or in hospital. I ask your prayers this morning for Brian Lumsden, who is now in Pavilion Court Nursing Home for end-of-life care. We pray for him, we pray for his wife, Brenda, and for these daughters, Ruth and Susan, and all the rest of the family who visited him so long in hospital. It seems to be an age since he became so ill, and we pray, Lord, that in your good time, you will take him home to be with you. In silence now, we pray for people we know who need our prayers this morning, people known to you and not known to me, and I'll be praying for those who mean a lot to me too. Lord Jesus, you know the needs of all your people, whatever they are in the world, you know their needs at this time. We ask you, Lord, to draw close to them, that they might be surrounded by your love, and that your will might be done. We pray for all those who mourn the loss of loved ones no longer with them and for whom life is hard. We ask you, Lord, to be with them. For those who are unemployed, the homeless, whose lives seem to be filled with despair, who cannot see a way forward, we pray, Lord. For those who feel that they are alone and forgotten, that life is just passing them by and that nobody cares, we ask you, Lord, to be with them this morning, that they might know of your love. We pray too for those who have no one else to pray for them, and those unable to pray for themselves, who no longer have the words, Lord. We know that we can intercede proudly on their behalf. Draw near, Lord, with your saving love, and bring healing and life and hope to all who need it today. And God of glory, we rejoice with the communion of saints. We remember all those who faithfully lived and all who died in Christian hope. Especially, Lord, we remember those who first taught us of your love, who put our feet on the right path. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them in the fullness of time into your eternal joy. Amen. And now we gather all our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. One more hymn before I have a few words with you, and that's 531, a hymn I know we all know very well. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and... May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Looking around the congregation this morning, I suppose quite a few of you will know what I'm going to say next. The younger members won't have a clue. It doesn't matter. They can learn if they listen. If I was to say to you, "Can you hear me, Mother?" I knew it would have that effect on some people. I wonder what thoughts came into your mind. I suppose it really does depend on what radio shows you can remember the 1940s and 50s. For it was a catchphrase of Sandy Powell. I could have made that a quiz question, couldn't I? A prolific radio comedian of the era. The story goes that one Sunday, at the beginning of a show, and remember the shows were live, and with a live audience, there's no recordings in those days, he was one who was supposed to say the opening remarks. He stood in front of the microphone, and he's done what I'm good at doing. He dropped his papers. Now, you can never have silence on the radio. If it was television, you'd see what was happening. You must speak, or they think you've gone off air. So as he bent down to pick them up, the first thought that came into his head was to shout as loud as he could into the microphone, "Can you hear me, Mother?" And the audience roared with laughter. In fact, it took several minutes to quieten them down, that when he picked his papers up, it could continue with the scheduled scripts. Now, why did he say that? Well, it was the first thing that came into his head because he was always saying it at home. Nowadays, people who have hearing aids, they're very small, you hardly notice they've got them. Some of them seem invisible. But his mother was very deaf in the time before National Health Service hearing aids. And she very probably had an ear trumpet, one of those great big things that he would have to shout in to make him hear her. And it was so funny that the producer said, "Well, keep that, that's your catchphrase now, And every programme, when you go on air, you have to say that first of all. And you know, every time people laughed, just as you did this morning, they laughed at it. Then one night he went on air. He didn't say it. Before the programme was over, the switchboard was jammed at the BBC saying, why didn't he say it? Well, the truth of it was, his mother had died that week, and he never used the tax phrase ever again. Can you hear me, mother? Died with her. And I thought that was a good thing to begin with this morning, to think about how we hear things. How often we take our hearing for granted. If you can't hear it, you just turn the television up a bit louder. My family come in and say, Mum, it's awful loud. I say, well, it's fine to me. we can adjust things, can't we? And we don't really worry too much about it. The miracle we had read to us by Leonora in our New Testament lesson was about a man who could not hear. He'd very probably been deaf from birth. And because of that, he'd never learned to talk either. Babies learn to talk by imitating the sounds they hear. I read somewhere that in the first 2 years of our lives, we try out every sound in every language, but we only retain the ones we hear back. The poor man had heard nothing, so the only sounds he could make were grunts, by which his closest family would guess what he wanted. Knowing that Jesus was in the area, his family decided they must bring him to Jesus. He would have no idea what's going on, but he was used to being taken by the hand and told, you're going so and so. We're going and taking him. They pushed and pulled through the crowd, and then they asked Jesus to heal him. Jesus stopped. He's talking to the people, the stories he was telling. And he took the man aside from the crowd. It was to avoid any embarrassment for him. It's sometimes harder to be deaf than blind. If someone cannot see, that soon becomes obvious to you. But somebody who's deaf can look absolutely average, and like everyone else. Often people were mistaken their problem for that of stupidity. How often have we heard deaf and daft linked together? Simply because they don't know what is going on. How much about Jesus the deaf man knew, we do not know. But he must have sensed something exciting was happening when his family took him through such a large crowd to the front. He could see people around about were excited, stretching and craning their necks to see Jesus. When he was elbowed through to the front, he knew something special was there, something special about this man. He looked at Jesus. Jesus looked at him tenderly. He didn't just put him to one side and say, I'll talk to you later. No, he stopped right there. The teaching that he was sharing with the crowd, he left the disciples to answer their questions, and he gave the deaf man his whole attention. Throughout the miracle, Jesus acted out what he was doing so the man would understand and not be frightened. Jesus spat on his hands. Now, we would consider that rather unhygienic today, but in those days it was believed that spittle held healing properties. Then he put his hands on the man's ears and he touched his tongue. Then Jesus turned his face up to heaven to show the man where his help was coming from. Jesus did not consider this man merely XX number of deaf people I have cured, and there must have been many before him, probably a lot more afterwards. Jesus treated him as a very special person with special needs that only Jesus could meet. When this was done, the man could hear. And whose voice did he hear first but that of Jesus? What were the first words he himself uttered? We will never know. But I'm sure if he couldn't say it in words, on his face he was expressing gratitude to Jesus, who was doing the work of his Father, and reminded him so, how he deliberately looked to heaven to show him not his work but God's. The crowd were amazed. And they said the most understated thing. He does everything well. He can even make deaf ear and the mood to speak. Without the intervention of Jesus, this poor man would have gone through life unable to commute with others, shut off from the world around him. He would never marry or have a family. When his parents were no longer there to support him, he'd be reduced to begging, because that was the only way left for people who had disabilities. A tragic story it would have been, but for this man, life began anew. I don't know how old he was, but life began anew. He could learn to speak. He could learn to listen hard to other people. He could be taught so much. He could go to the synagogue with them and praise God. A wonderful, wonderful story of healing. Well, you say that's a long while ago, and indeed it is, when Jesus was alive. I can tell you a story a little bit nearer to our time. I knew a lady who was nursing in London during the Second World War. She was caught up in the bombing once or twice, but never actually got hurt. One night on her way to the hospital, a bomb fell to the ground, not all that far from where she was. She wasn't badly hurt, knocked to the ground, the noise deafened her. She had cuts and bruises. She woke up in hospital with concussion and a few cuts and bruises. The doctor said she'd had a lucky escape. But she could hear nothing at all, not a thing. And the consultant who looked at her said, well, your hearing isn't damaged. It'll return. It'll just take time. But sadly for Jean, that meant no more nursing. And she went down to stay with a distant relative on their farm in Devon. People there were so kind to her. And in return, she did what she could help on the farm. Though she was a city girl, she learned to milk a cow, to feed the hens, anything that she could do to help them. But still, she could not hear anything. She carried a notebook and pencil with her. But often when people were too shy to write anything down, maybe they couldn't spell the word properly. And when the family gathered around the radio to listen to the news, Jean's got up. And she went out in the garden, knowing she could read the newspaper or the news next day. But what was the hardest thing for her was when people laughed. And she had no idea what was funny. And it took so long for someone to write it down that she missed a joke. Gradually she began to despair of ever hearing again. Although she certainly prayed about it, and I'm sure friends in the church there prayed for her too. When suddenly, she was needed. It was a stormy night, and a baby was on its way. Mother had gone into labour on a farm a little away from where they lived. Roads were blocked with fallen trees. There was no way the village nurse could get through. They came and asked Jean if she would go, and they signalled to her, and she said yes. She'll do what she could. She was taken on the back of a tractor through the darkest night to a young woman. And she could see right away there were problems. The baby was going to be breech birth. And with no equipment, but the towel she brought with her and an oil lamp. Jean told me years later that she and God did it together. The baby was born alive and weighing about 8 pounds, a bouncing baby. That in itself was a miracle. But the next miracle was to come was when she heard the baby cry. Tears ran down her face and her hearing was back. As some people would tell you, miracles don't happen today. Well, Jean was to me the living proof they did. Her hearing stayed with her for the rest of her life. She returned to London to her nursing job at the hospital and she continued singing in her church choir. Nowadays, she's singing with the angels. But I always remember the story of how God truly gave a miracle for her. So what of us? What can we take away from that parable this morning? Miracles still do happen, and we all can, I'm sure, think of something in our lives which we can only say was a miracle. That God still answers prayers, and we know that's true too. We also have ears good ears ourselves that we're expected to use for him. Often we can see the cry for someone in need, if not in their voice, in their eyes. Some people are too shy to ask for help, but if we look, we can see they need it. Ears can bring to them the reassurance that they need. We too can tell them of a worker of miracles. If we have faith, he can still help us today, and he does. All we have to do is to listen. The need of others, the privilege we have, is bringing them to Jesus. He was truly the one who could do all things well and still continues to do everything well if we ask him. Amen. To your hands, the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I would go, for I always can trust you. We can trust him to answer our prayers, trust him to heal, trust him to perform miracles. All we need to do is to trust him. 5:19. As we go into this new week, Lord, give us ears to hear the need of those about us and eyes to see the need of those who cannot ask, that we might bring joy to those who need it in your name. For you are indeed the maker of miracles. Amen. And we say the grace to each other.
Grace to our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.